The trouble with love is, it doesn't care how fast you fall. By X Love M X. Hermione Granger is certain of three things. The war is over. The number of people in London around Christmas time isn't vastly different than it is during the rest of the year. And when Ron dropped to his knees to ask her to marry him, she should have said no.
"Please tell me you're going to be here early. I don't think I can take facing this many people on my own,"
Hermione sighs, her phone between her ear and shoulder as she desperately tries to decide between yellow and blue napkins.
"You have Ron,"
Harry points out from the other end of the line, and Hermione very nearly sighs again.
"You know that's not what I meant,"
she replies, tossing both the napkins back onto the table.
"He's not exactly a big help with any of this, really. Thinks that it's a girl thing to pick out decorations, and it's not helping that Molly doesn't seem concerned with asking him to help either.
Who even came up with the concept of engagement parties?" Hermione's asked herself that question about a million times already. That number might not have been entirely accurate, but it surely feels that way. And she has yet to come up with a plausible answer. Truthfully, she does know why they're doing this, because there's a lot of people who won't be coming to the wedding next year. And maybe they also need a reason to put the grief they've all been dealing with these past few months on hold and celebrate. She gets that, and yet she's not entirely sure why it matters what color her napkins are, or if there's lilies or tulips on the tables. Molly is in her element, though, having spent the past week trying out new recipes to dish out at the party. And Hermione doesn't have the heart to tell her that she doesn't particularly care if there's going to be pumpkin or tomato soup.
"Harry?"
It's been suspiciously quiet on the other end of the line, and Hermione very nearly sighs again. They've all had a rough year, and yet something has shifted in these past few months since the war has ended, and Hermione can't quite put her finger on it. It's not just grief, even though she knows that plays a big part in their lives and how they're living right now, but she remembers standing in front of Grimmauld Place late at night the day that Ron had taken off again, a bottle of fire whiskey in his hand, and Harry letting her in. It's something that happened again and again, though at some point Hermione had stopped bringing the whiskey, because there are lines they shouldn't be crossing, and the alcohol blurred those lines to a point where they became unrecognizable.
"I'll be there, Hermione."
The full use of her name stings just a little, because he'd made such frequent use of her nickname that Hermione had gotten used to it. To have it taken away now hurts a little more than she wants to admit, but she can't let him know that.
"Early?"
she asks, almost afraid to wait for the answer. But despite everything, Harry is still Harry. He's kind and has a good heart. Hermione's never doubted that.
"Early,"
he confirms, but somehow it does nothing to loosen the knot in her stomach.
"How did you convince Molly to stop offering you her wedding dress?"
Hermione sighs, blowing a strand of hair from her face so she can actually see, before meeting Fleur's eyes in the mirror.
"Oh, I think she has learned not to, how do you say, pick fights with me."
A smile passes over the other woman's face as she pulls the rogue strand of hair away from Hermione's face, using a pin to hold it in place then.
"Well, I don't think she's even considering picking fights with me."
Hermione huffs in response, and maybe that's exactly the problem. Molly's seen her grow up, essentially, and she probably means no harm. But Hermione's not the same person anymore that she was a year ago. Sometimes she doesn't even feel like the same person she was yesterday. Fleur's eyes meet with hers in the mirror, and for a brief moment she wonders if the other woman wants to say something. But instead, Fleur goes back to finishing the hair, lips curving into a smile.
"There you go. You look perfect. Now go have some fun and enjoy the party. It's for you, after all."
Fleur squeezes her shoulder briefly before she steps back, and Hermione holds back another sigh, taking one last look at her reflection before heading out. There's so many people at this party that Hermione has stopped counting just how many times she's uttered the words, "Pleased to meet you," while Ron shakes their hands, a bright smile on his lips. She's absolutely sure that he doesn't know half of the people either, but it's nice to see him somewhat happy, especially considering everything they've been going through. So she goes along with it, nodding and smiling, until she spots Harry somewhere in the crowd. He's holding a video camera that's directed at her, and she rolls her eyes, but isn't quite able to hide the smile that forms on her lips as she approaches him. "What are you doing?" she then asks, resisting the urge to throw her arms around him in a big hug. With all the preparations going on, it's been a while since they've seen each other, and to Hermione it feels like an eternity. "Representing the Muggle side of this engagement," Harry quips, the corners of his lips curving into a smile. "A few words from the bride-to-be."
"Stop it," Hermione laughs, shaking her head. "I feel stupid. I don't even know half these people. I don't think Ron does, and according to how confused Arthur looks, he doesn't either."
"Isn't that what weddings are like?" Harry asks, finally putting the camera down, and Hermione shrugs her shoulders. In truth, she'd only ever really been to one wedding, which had ended in a horrible disaster, though up until that point it had felt quite wonderful.
"Well, I'd rather just
not be here," she thinks, but she can't say that out loud, because she's not quite sure where that thought will take her, and Hermione doesn't have time for a breakdown. "Keep it small?" Harry asks, and she nods, fiddling with her hands as she looks around, trying to focus on anything but him.
"Yes, something like that."
The rest of their conversation is cut short, because Ron weasels his way through the crowd, his hand coming to rest on Hermione's shoulder.
"There you are. Mom says I should give a speech or something, to welcome everyone and to open the buffet."
Ron moves his hand from her shoulder then, intertwining their fingers, and Hermione bites her lip, not quite able to resist looking back at Harry over her shoulder. He's watching her as she goes along, before raising the camera to capture the moment, and Hermione does her best to once again ignore the way the knot in her stomach tightens. It's not a bad party once all the formalities are over. Some of their friends have come, and it's nice to catch up, to learn what everyone else is up to. Hogwarts won't open its doors until spring, and yet some people are already talking about going back, and it's somewhat comforting to Hermione. She wants to go back too, but Ron refuses to even talk about their time there, even though the good memories by far outweigh the bad ones. At least that's what she thinks.
"Well, you haven't lost a brother."
She can hear Ron's voice in the back of her head, yelling at her, and thinks that Fred was like a brother to her too, but she doesn't say it out loud, because it wouldn't change a thing, there'd just be more yelling. Hermione thinks about the countless times Ron stormed out, and how her first thought has always been relief, because she wouldn't be yelled at anymore, and she wouldn't have to yell back. All of her energy focused on her own grief and troubles. The sadness would come later, much like the almost instinctual reaction of finding herself at Grimmauld Place just a little later, where Harry wouldn't ask any questions, and instead offer her a glass of the fire whiskey she had brought. It all seems so far away now, like the last time hadn't just been a few weeks ago, with Hermione appearing in the living room, her smile faltering the moment her eyes catch sight of Ron instead of Harry, the latter standing off to the side, an apologetic look on his face.
"I love you. I'm sorry."
She remembers the words clear as day, maybe because she'd heard them so many times, and maybe that's why it takes her by surprise when he pulls out the ring and goes down on one knee. It's not how she imagined a proposal, but then again, rarely anything in her life ever goes according to plan, no matter how hard she tries. So maybe this is just as fitting. Hermione says yes when she should have said no, and it's what kickstarts this whole mess to begin with.
"Not half bad, is it?"
Ron whispers as they sway around the makeshift dance floor. It's late, and most of the guests have gone to bed, but a few are still up, nursing their last drink, or having joined them to dance. The music is slow, and Hermione doesn't know the song, but she finds that she doesn't particularly care either. Her feet are hurting from the high heels she's been wearing, and a few strands of hair have come loose too, but it doesn't particularly matter anymore.
"I've been to worse parties," she mutters, and suddenly there's a flash of memories, Slughorn's Christmas party in particular, and Hermione almost chuckles at the thought of hiding behind one of the curtains with Harry.
"I'm just glad there won't be that many people at the wedding."
She can feel Ron's hand resting between her shoulder blades, pulling her a little closer, and Hermione instantly feels bad.
"Yeah, me too,"
she whispers in response, hiding her face against his neck, so she won't automatically look for Harry. The grief seems to hit even harder after that. Like the party has been a reminder of what they've been missing, who they've been missing, and Hermione isn't quite sure how to deal with it. It's not like there are tears for her to wipe away, other than her own, because Ron prefers to keep his feelings to himself, at least those kind of feelings, and when she wakes the next morning, he's gone. Hermione has long ago learned not to ask any questions, though, knowing that chasing after him wouldn't do much good. She's learned that the hard way, by finding herself on the opposite end of harsh words that she doesn't deserve, but that hurt nevertheless. With the house quiet, Hermione tries to busy herself with writing thank you cards. She has exactly one moving picture from the party that's somewhat decent, with Ron and her smiling into the camera, though the smile doesn't quite reach her eyes. And so she writes onto the back of it, thanking people for their attendance and the gifts, until her wrist starts hurting. And when she realizes that she hasn't even written half of the guests, Hermione huffs out a frustrated sigh.
"This is ridiculous,"
she then mutters to herself, before shaking her head and grabbing her coat from the hanger by the door. And within seconds, she finds herself in front of Grimmauld Place, ringing the doorbell before she can overthink things.
"I swear there's twice as many people in this city during Christmas," Harry mutters to himself as they weave their way through the crowd, cups of hot chocolate in hand.
"Statistically speaking, you're wrong. There's roughly just as many people here, but they're more centered in spaces like this."
She gestures around the Christmas market they're wandering through, and Harry snorts.
"Right, I know better than to argue with you."
He then laughs, and for a brief moment it feels like nothing has changed. They can still bicker like they used to, and it gives her a brief moment of reprieve where she can breathe again.
"This hot chocolate is delicious, though,"
she smiles in response, lifting the cup to her lips. It's way overpriced, because this is London after all. But Hermione can't quite say that she minds, not when the company is so good. It's been a while since it's just been the two of them, the engagement turning their lives upside down just a little bit. But Hermione doesn't want to think about that right now. Ron's off, Merlin knows where, and a small part of her doesn't even care. And she hates herself just a little bit for that.
"I like butterbeer, but this I could get used to," Harry nods.
And Hermione ignores the way her stomach swoops just a little at his words, even though she knows what he actually means. It's nice, not being recognized by anyone. They had gone to Diagon Alley a few times since the war had ended, and it was either people coming up to them, attempting to shake their hands and thanking them, or, something Hermione almost found worse, just looking at them as they passed by, whispering to each other. The rest of London, blissfully unaware that there had been a war going on, couldn't care less about the two individuals walking side by side. They're just two more faces in a crowd, being swept along.
"Yeah," Hermione nods as she falls in step beside him. "Me too."
They make it back to Grimmauld Place way later than either of them anticipated, but Hermione stops him to watch the lights turn on, her lips curved in an almost carefree smile for the first time in days, weeks, maybe even, and it's hard to resist her.
"Hey, can I ask you something, Harry?"
She glances back at him for a moment, still halfway dressed for going out.
"You filmed quite a bit at the party. Do you think I could have a look at the footage? There's only one photo that was taken that looks even half decent, and I don't want Fleur's work to go to waste."
Harry fidgets with his hands for a moment before shrugging his shoulders.
"Yeah, I mean, sure, but don't expect too much. I think I might have taped over it already."
Hermione frowns as she steps into the living room, which is one of the only rooms Harry has redone so far. The walls are painted in a brighter color, and there's all sorts of modern additions to it, like a TV and a computer. And looking at the blankets on the sofa, she can tell that he's still sleeping here, too.
"Why would you do that?" Hermione asks, glancing around. "Tape over it, I mean."
Her eyes find the stack of tapes by the TV, then, and she bends down, reading over the words written on them.
"I don't know, just..."
Harry mutters, but isn't quite able to finish, when Hermione finds what she's been looking for.
"Hermione and Ron's engagement party. Do you think we might be on the right track here?"
There's a half smile on her lips as she puts the tape into the recorder and presses play.
"Oh, that's perfect. perfect!
The first shot is of her coming down the stairs at the burrow, heads turning to look at her, and Hermione smiles.
I do look quite pretty, don't I?
It hadn't felt that way during the party, but looking at it now, Fleur had done a fantastic job with her hair and makeup, and the dress isn't half bad either. It switches to a shot of her lifting her glass to toast, and then to the moment she remembers so clearly, approaching him.
What are you doing?
Representing the Muggle side of this engagement. A few words from the bride-to-be.
Harry's voice can be heard on the tape, and then Hermione's response.
Stop it!
She sees herself laughing, lips curved into a genuine smile, before it switches to her walking away. And then there's a moment where she clearly remembers dancing with Ron, but the camera is focused on her once again, zooming in on her face. It takes a moment for the realization to sink in, but when it does, she feels her chest tighten and her stomach drop.
But you're my best friend.
Her voice is quiet as she speaks, attempting to swallow around the lump in her throat.
We?
Yeah. Well, feel free to take it. Just don't go showing it around too much, Harry mutters.
And when Hermione finally turns to look at him, he's running a hand through his hair.
People might get the wrong idea.
He pauses before pointing towards the door.
You know, I forgot I had a thing. Just close the door on your way out, yeah?
And before she can even reply, he's gone, not even having taken his coat, while Hermione is left staring, her eyes slowly but surely beginning to fill with tears. She doesn't speak to Harry for a week. It's not like she doesn't try, but every time Hermione picks up the phone, the lump in her throat gets too big to speak, and she puts it down again. It doesn't help that Ron seems to be adamant on getting into the Christmas spirit, too. He comes back on the second day, apologizing profusely, and Hermione doesn't know what else to do other than forgive him, her head filled with too many things and voices that won't shut up.
You made a mistake.
And it's not like she doesn't know. They all took a wrong turn somewhere, and now they're so far ahead that even if she turned around, she wouldn't know which way to take.
Hermione, dear?
It's Molly's voice that pulls her from her thoughts, and Hermione realizes that she's been staring at her phone for way too long.
Yes,
she manages, letting it slide into her pocket, before offering the other woman a smile in return.
Do you know if Harry is coming over for Christmas dinner? I did send an owl with an invitation, but I've not heard back yet.
She paused.
I don't want to press him, but I am trying to estimate how much food I need.
Hermione attempts a smile, though she's not entirely sure it works as well as she hopes it does. If Molly notices, however, she doesn't call her out on it.
I haven't heard him mention that he wasn't coming, but I don't want to speak for him.
Cocking her head to the side as she glances back at Hermione, Molly nods.
Well, I'll just make some more then. Someone will surely eat it.
Her smile seems much more genuine than Hermione's.
It's always good to have a plan, but there's no shame in changing it up if it doesn't work, you know?
Offering another smile, Molly eventually turns to step out of the kitchen, leaving Hermione alone with her thoughts. Harry doesn't show up for dinner. Molly tells them something about him going to the Dursleys to try and make some peace offering, but Hermione doesn't believe it for a second. Not that she can't imagine Harry doing that, but she knows that he hasn't mentioned them once whenever they had been together, even before the incident. Of course, she can't say that out loud, though, so Hermione keeps herself busy with the food, and luckily enough, there's plenty of that. Nobody seems to notice that something is off, or at least that's what she thinks anyway. Until they're finished with dessert, and Molly offers them some coffee with a bit of fire whiskey for the adults, and Ginny steps up to her, leaning against the kitchen counter.
You look miserable, she states,
and Hermione very nearly chokes on her drink.
More than usual, I mean.
It's strange to see how differently people deal with grief. Ron carries it with him very openly, letting it break free ever so often, while Bill is very quiet about it, much like Percy, who throws himself into his work, while Charlie had left to go back to Romania the day after the funeral. Ginny seems to be even fiercer than before, always out and about, throwing herself into the world like she knows it could end tomorrow. Hermione feels like she's a mix between all of them, being pulled in so many different directions that she can't even get a foot on the ground to steady herself, not even a little bit.
I'm,
She starts, but Ginny raises an eyebrow and shakes her head. Don't say I'm fine, or I might actually scream. She then interrupts, raising the cup to her lips. I know everyone experiences grief differently, but this family is extraordinarily bad at talking about it. Hermione almost laughs, even though it seems wildly inappropriate, before taking a sip of her own cup. You don't have to tell me. There's a hint of a smile on Ginny's lips before she glances over to meet the other woman's eyes again. If you ever want to talk about anything, I'm here. Even if... Her eyes dart towards Ron, who's turning his new Quidditch gear over in his hands. You know. Their eyes meet again, and somehow Hermione feels like it's not Fred's death that Ginny is talking about. The big bang comes much sooner than she anticipates. Literally. And yet she's not surprised. Part of her has been dreading this moment, and yet it's oddly freeing. The loud bang of the door as it slams shut, nearly falling off its hinges. The way she knows that everyone has heard it, and the words that preceded the action. But Hermione is thankful that no one comes down to try and talk to her. She cries just a little bit, knowing that it's not just the end of a relationship, but also a blow to their friendship. But the fear of losing her friend can't be greater than the misery she's felt for the past few months. Ginny's right. She's been miserable, but for more than one reason. The tea she's made for herself has gone cold by the time the knock on the door comes, and Hermione briefly wonders why Ron would knock when she catches sight of the figure standing outside.
Harry?
She feels her heart miss a beat, scrambling up from the table and very nearly toppling over the chair before pulling the door open.
I...
Hermione starts, but then stops when he puts a finger to his lips. And looking closer now, she sees the big sheets of paper he's carrying, along with a CD player he puts down before pressing play. Silent Night begins to play, and Hermione smiles involuntarily, meeting Harry's eyes briefly before her gaze is drawn down to the pieces of paper. The first one reads, "With any luck, by next year, I'll be going out with one of these girls." And when he drops the first paper, the second one is filled with pictures of various women, including Quidditch players from a team Hermione knows are called the Holyhead Harpies, but also actresses like Julia Roberts and Drew Barrymore. It makes her smile, and she feels her stomach swoop just a little when Harry smiles too. He drops the paper again and again, and Hermione's expression grows a little softer. "But for now, let me, without hope or agenda, just because it's Christmas, and at Christmas you tell the truth. To me, you are perfect, and my wasted heart will love you until you look like this." He drops another paper, and Hermione very nearly laughs out loud when she sees the picture of a mummy that nearly fills the entirety of the paper being held up. And when she looks again, the last sheet of paper simply says, "Merry Christmas." And suddenly Hermione feels tears forming in the corners of her eyes. She watches as he offers something of a smile then, before picking up the papers and turning off the music. And if Hermione hesitates, it's only because, for the first time in her life, her head can't quite catch up fast enough.
"Harry!"
It feels like a delay that's way too long, and he's already turned and walked a few steps when she catches up with him, a little out of breath.
"Harry!"
Her hand comes to rest on his shoulder to stop him, and when he turns around, Hermione can see that there are tears in his eyes, too. It makes her stomach drop just a little, but she does her best to shake the feeling off.
"Hermione, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have," he mutters.
But she just reaches up to press a finger against his lips, the sound of his nickname for her sending a spark of warmth rippling from her chest through her entire body.
"How long have you been in love with me?"
she then asks, but shakes her head immediately after.
"It doesn't matter. I love you too, Harry."
Hermione's smile widens, but Harry doesn't seem entirely convinced, and she can't even blame him.
"But what about..."
He glances back towards the house for a moment, but Hermione shakes her head.
"We broke up. I broke up with him. I wasn't in love with him anymore. I don't think I ever actually was. I should have said no when he asked me to marry him. I just..."
She trails off and looks away, and then Harry's finger is under her chin, lifting it up so she can look at him once more.
"We'll figure it out," he says, his voice quiet, and just the hint of a smile on his face.
And there it is again, that warmth that fills her entirely, making her stomach swoop as she watches Harry lean in. Just slowly enough for her to pull away if she wants to. Hermione, however,
finds that she's rarely ever wanted something as much as this. So her hands come up to tangle in his coat, pulling him in the rest of the way. And Harry laughs into the kiss as his arms come to wrap around her, neither of them noticing that snow has slowly begun drifting from the sky. Not until Hermione shivers just a little, realizing that she's not dressed to be outside in December. "Merry Christmas, Hermione," Harry whispers eventually, wrapping her up a little tighter in his arms. And suddenly he has no doubt that they will figure this out, no matter how long it takes.
"Merry Christmas, Harry," she replies with a smile,
pulling him in for another kiss before he can say anything else. And Harry absolutely doesn't complain.